Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. I hope everybody had a good weekend, especially you fathers. I hope you received the recognition you deserve, just like mothers on Mother's Day. With that being said, the show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. You are listening to the only show that asserts the constitutional solution to getting the general government back into the framework of the Constitution. There is no other way. I wish there was some other way. I wish there was just an add water pill. You just throw it out there, put water on it, and boom, we have the federal government back into the scope of the Constitution. However, as you know, it requires the states to do this because it is their contract. That Constitution was written for and by them. And so that's why this show is dedicated to supporting state legislators who are willing to commit to protecting their citizens within their legislative districts from federal tyranny, as well as this show is dedicated in supporting those county grassroots leaders, as well as the Central Committee for the Legislative Districts. However your state has broken up in the political fray, because apparently there are some states that go by county and some states that go by legislative district. So that being said, you are the employers of these people, and it is imperative or paramount, whichever word you prefer, that you start controlling your brand in ensuring that those who are supporting the Constitution and committing to supporting the Constitution, you get behind and you endorse and you make sure they get in. So what this means is these grassroots leaders that are willing to do this, as well as those who are seeking to serve in protecting their citizen from federal tyranny, means they're protecting all of us from federal tyranny. And that warms the cockles of my heart. And so I hope that you feel the same way, because I'm hoping very soon we'll be starting to put out some candidates that you can get behind. And I want you, as I've been saying, don't send me money, save your money, because I want you to start sending little donations to these different candidates so that they can get across the finish line, just like what we did with Chad Christensen. And so moving forward, I still need to point out, because it's important that we do this, that there is this video out there. It's called ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, or it's at my ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, and it is called my first presentation, or my August 2017 presentation on Reclaiming the Republic or Republic Review. And just watch the first 30 minutes on YouTube. Just watch that one video. And some people are watching the Northwest Grassroots, which is only 30 minutes. But if you're watching the whole thing, just watch the first 30 minutes. Have a party. If you, like I said last week, if your kids are having a birthday party, then, you know, have a big party, bring over all their friends and show them this video. This way, these kids are going to learn more about the Constitution than they will ever learn all the way through the public education system, as well as if they became a constitutional lawyer. And so you can find this video if you go to my ReclaimingTheRepublic.org and hit the Take Action button on the right side. That will take you to that page, and just scroll down underneath the slides. You can even download those slides. Why do I provide the slides? If you watch the video, it is because I'm okay with you giving this exact same presentation. It's in a PDF form, so you can't really change it. And that way I make sure that the message stays on point and succinct. But by all means, if you don't want to watch the video or show people the video and you want to do the presentation yourself, there you go. You have the slides. If you just need to write a script or what have you, just watch the video a few times yourself. Memorize it. Again, this is not about money. I'm not monetizing this. I have no idea if the gentleman that runs this site is monetizing this. That doesn't matter. What matters is that we get the message. Because actually, if you watch this, the very beginning of this video, I say three things. Reasonable people, equally informed, seldom disagree. These are my three basic premises. And so the problem with most people, why we don't agree, is that middle part. We're not equally informed. And so getting people to that equal information type of thing, then all of a sudden the epiphanies start occurring. We start working together and we can actually overcome some big odds. The second premise is that the people are the fountain. Actually, no, the second premise is knowledge is power. And that's why it is important to get everybody equally informed. And the more informed we get, the better off we are. Again, intelligence is a key principle in warfare. And so the other factor or premise that I go by is that people are the fountain of political power. You're going to read in the Pennsylvania ratification debates, they talk a lot about the people hold the power. The people are the sovereigns. They're the ultimate sovereigns. And so the problem is that we have so many different passionate issues that we want our state legislators to deal with, whether it be abortion, whether it be immigration, sanctuary cities, whether it be Second Amendment. You name the credo or your big pet peeve, your cause, then I will tell you that is the problem. We have to become succinct in our message to our legislative leaders so that they understand we need compliance to the Constitution. If we get the federal government into compliance, your worries about the Second Amendment go away, your worries about immigration, and all of these things that are dragging us into this abyss will go away. At least 99% of them, probably. So anyway, if you get a chance, you got a kid's birthday coming up, then by all means, this would be an excellent opportunity to get your kids into the first class of patriotism, learning about the Constitution. So let me grovel for a second, because I will tell you that no revolution can be fought by a single army or a single person. And so I am seeking your help. If you want to help, by all means, just continue emailing me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. There are ways that you can get engaged and start reaching out and start, and you'll actually grow this show, because some of the people that we need to go after, in addition to what I'm trying to do here, as well as the Guarantee Clause and 17th Amendment and so forth, it will help spread the word so that people understand there is a myopic program, a program that has myopic focus on the Constitution, and that would be a good thing. As a matter of fact, as I continue to look and as I continue to look around, I do notice that this show is growing, and that's because of you. And I thank you. I hope that you can help me retire. And I have no desire of doing this as a permanent gig. I would much rather be growing hot peppers or doing something different. I've done all sorts of things in my life, and this is just one of those things that is more of a mission and or a calling. And so, as I always do before the show started, I actually scanned the news. I looked through and found any signs. Is there any sign out there that the federal government is disbanding one of its tyrannical roles, responsibilities, and powers? And to no avail, there is no such thing. And what that means is that they are not likely going to do it. Not bloody likely. And so what that means is we have to do it. That's why I am trying to motivate you. I'm trying to go through all of these different factors, the deep state, all of these different problems that are dragging us into this abyss that I'm calling this. And what is it going to take, folks? What do I have to do? Do I need to get a pretty face? Do I need to use sex appeal? What do I have to do to get you motivated into standing up and saying enough's enough? You're basically walking all over the Constitution. There's hardly any resemblance of a constitutional, hybrid constitutional republic left. They're doing anything and everything they want to do. And as long as our guy's doing it, that's okay? No, that's not okay. We need to be very succinct in sending the message that it is no longer okay for them to usurp states' power, states' roles, and states' responsibilities. I will show you, I will prove to you, after Republic Review, you will recognize that states will be far better at tending to those things that are, you know, invested into them, or those things that have not been delegated and taken from them and given to the federal government. You're going to find that energy, the cost of energy, and what is going on with energy in the next 20 years when the states take this back, there'll actually be a strategy to get us into the 21st, 22nd, and 23rd centuries. We can actually have an executable strategy, which right now it is selling your wealth downstream to OPEC and different sovereignties, where we're only enriching them. And I've said this on a show before. Go look at your budget. Too much of your disposable income is being spent on energy. It is typically the number two or number three most expensive line item in your budget. And that is unacceptable. We should actually be getting these energy companies are public utilities. Why are we paying so much for electricity and gas? Yeah, that's because they don't have a strategy, and that is because they want to fleece you. So that's why we want to get this back to the states. And so as soon as we come back, I will pose my one question. Anybody that wants to answer it, by all means, you can call in. I have a set of signed books for you, and we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. Most people resist change, but how would you like to be rewarded in at least two ways for considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy believes your smile is a reflection upon him, and that is a mutually shared reward between both him and you. Another reward is improving your overall health by working with your dentist like Dr. Tracy and developing a strategy in maintaining your dental health. But how would you like a direct incentive in considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy and his staff from time to time offer a special referral program. For every new patient you refer who becomes a patient, Dr. Tracy will reward you with $50 off your dental work. Consequently, if you refer five people, that's $250 off your dental work. Give them a call and ask for the details and the availability of the referral program by calling 466-6614 or go to VonTracyDDS.com. Again, that's 466-6614 or sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. And so the question that I am posing that I believe bears a direct relationship with a lot of the issues that are going on with states. And that question is, what or where in the Constitution gives the federal government the authority to create and manage land for reservation purposes, whether those reservations are for environmental purposes, whether they're for trees, agriculture, wildlife, or even people? Show me in the Constitution. Where do I find that? Is that an amendment? Maybe that's the 14th Amendment. I don't know, but I am enlisting on your help and seeking your guidance and further light and knowledge that you might be able to help me understand why and where and how the federal government is able to just take state land and manage it for whatever purpose they want to, it seems like. But anywho, let me get on to Red Pill Expo. So we got Red Pill Expo over in the Spokane area, and that is this week, Thursday. It starts Thursday evening with the feature film, Dead Man Talking. It is a second documentary on Lavoie Finicum. And if you go to redpillexpo.org, then you can get your tickets. And as a matter of fact, I did confirm that if you use Griffin, G-R-I-F-F-I-N, for a coupon when you check out, you will get an additional savings for the streaming. Because I know it's way too late for anybody to get on a plane, unless you live in the area, to be able to make it this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So with that being said, this is a great... You're going to be basically sitting at the end of the fire hose getting drenched with all sorts of content and information. So good luck with that. It will be very rewarding, at least at a minimum, because it takes a while. As a matter of fact, it's not uncommon when people watch my presentation, they come back and say, you know what, I need to watch that again. And usually they twice or three times. And that's the same with my books. I've actually had somebody write in an Amazon review that, they kind of have to read one segment and then they read it again and then they read it again. And, usually in the second and third segments, as they read it, they go, okay, now this is making sense and how this is connecting to something else. And then later on, if something doesn't come clear, then it connects later on for them. And so the multiple reading, because... It's kind of like those textbooks at college, right? When you had to actually read them a couple of times to kind of get it. What does marginal cost mean in economics? Anyway, so you're going through those formulas of the curve. Anyway, so it is it's important that you capture this if you're going to do the streaming. And so if you've got a mechanism of doing that, then great. If not, then... you definitely want to pay attention because there's going to be a lot of good content. So here's an interesting question. Trump today announced that they're going to create a sixth branch in the military. So can somebody please tell me what the fifth and fourth branch is? Because let me see if I'm correct. No, what is the fifth branch? Because maybe the fifth branch is the Department of Transportation or is it DHS? I don't know. If you know, call me, because I know the first, second, third, and fourth would be what, the Army, Marine Corps, or Navy, Air Force. Those are the first four. What is that fifth one? Because as near as I can tell, the Coast Guard is a part of the Department of Transportation, or have they moved that out, and is that now a fifth branch? Because as we know, the Department of Transportation was attempted to be created under Madison and then later on with Monroe and later on with Jackson, and all three presidents said you have to amend the Constitution to create this power or this role, responsibility, and power. And so knowing that there's no amendment, then, you know, we obviously have an unconstitutional power. I do understand there is a need for national security. So I think what the Coast Guard is doing is a completely different role. So maybe that's why they put them over the military. I don't know when that happened. But then again, I don't really watch the news that much anymore. I'm just looking for very minute constitutional things. Oh, they're disbanding the Department of Education finally. But that ain't happening, as you know. And so anyway, the other thing I noticed in the news that I think is really important, because it goes to collusion and it goes to cooperation. There is a lawsuit against the four largest U.S. airlines, and it's escalated this week because American Airlines has agreed to flip against the remaining airlines. So in other words, they were playing the prisoner's dilemma in trying to get who to flip first. And so they're only going to have to pay $45 million. So the other three airlines, I'm going to guess that's Delta, Southwest, and another one. And so here you have airlines colluding. And so why is this constitutionally important? Because whenever you get an oligarchy of power, whenever you centralize power, such as the executive departments or what have you, they instantly begin colluding and working together in moving an agenda. Whether they think that agenda is for the betterment of society or for, you know, for your own good, even though you may not like it, but, you know, they're going to control us better so that, you know, we all don't get shot or what have you. The point of the matter is people always try to take the unethical or the low road in trying to make more money, gain more control, gain more power. And so this is nothing different. But look how quickly the wallet opens up in the commercial sector or the private sector. And in the public sector, it's like fleas and germs and, you know, insects. When you lift the rock, they just start crawling in every direction, trying to go run and hide. There is no wallet down there. And they know that for their own preservation, they better be the first one to get out of sight, because out of sight, out of mind. Anyway, there's another interesting twist in the news that I thought I would go over, because this has to be frustrating to the gun control advocates, that an armed customer in Washington State shot and killed a man who opened fire in Walmart. So apparently he got killed and injured somebody else or a couple of other people or what have you. And so here you go. Nobody was killed. And somebody, because they were armed, actually stopped somebody trying to kill somebody and by killing them. So he, one, saved the court system and the prosecution a lot of money in having to take this person to court and then incarcerating this person. So we saved the state a lot of money. And then secondly, he's actually saved lives because he was armed. And so think about that when you start thinking about these no Second Amendment rights, no open carry, no concealed carry on premises and so forth, like schools and so forth. Anyway, but that is not the problem. As a matter of fact, I will go back on the record to tell you that the reason we have these shootings and all of these problems is because of our education system. It has debased our society, and we have now become the most immoral society that we could possibly be, because we are on the verge of sexualizing anything and everything. And that, to me, is indicative of a society ready to collapse. Go look at the historical, empirical data, and you will find that at the collapse of every society, that is the pinnacle that they've reached. Anyway, I don't know if I mentioned this, but I think it's really important that I do bring this up. DNC, the Democratic National Committee, has moved up its 2020 convention for May 22nd and 20 to the 25th. Now, I don't know if you know when all the primaries are, and I don't know if you know why the conventions are typically in late August. It is because it is after all of the state primaries. So this is an unprecedented grasp of desperation, if you ask me. The fact that they're doing this early, this is months before the usual time, and you have to start wondering, why? Are they trying to limit the field? Are they trying to make it impossible for the primaries to really play out? Are they just trying to anoint the next person so that they have no more bickering between, you know, the socialist side and the communist side, or vice versa? To give them more time to build a base is obvious. That was one of the things that they want to do. They want to collectivize their power to one person in May so that that person can start moving forward and building their base and starting to gain momentum, because by that, I don't think the Republican committee or the convention won't be until August timeframe. So anyway, is this going to force primaries to move up? I sure hope not, because you've already heard me rail about those, and it is not good when you have primaries in May or even before. I've got a hard break, and I will be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open. And so now it is time for some meat, because this is where the rubber hits the road, my friends. Because as I have told you, the ratification debates are legal appendages to the Constitution. They're as good as amendments to the Constitution without having to go through the Article 5 process. Why? Because whenever you go through a contract in negotiations and you agree, you ratify the Constitution based on further definitions, further clarifications being provided, then those definitions become legally binding definitions. And that's why all these definitions and all of the things that were clarified within the ratification debates become supporting legal documents to the Constitution. Just as if the 13 states all ratified each of these ratifications. And that is why it is imperative, because these ratification debates also paint a very concise picture of exactly how limited the federal government was. So before I get into those, as I always do, let me at least state this, that if we're not using the Constitution to fighting our battles, then we risk with almost certainty in losing these battles. Therefore, our only defense and our only weapon that can destroy our enemies and that can save us is the Constitution. And so with that, I want to basically ask this. This is what I like to ask before for anybody that's just tuning in for the first time, because I know the show is growing. And so thank you for tuning in. The words I'm going to read here from these founding documents, are these the words of deceit and lies, or are the words that we have been taught from our progressive education system, the progressive colleges, professors, lawyers, politicians, and bureaucrats, are their words the words of deceit? I will let you decide that, but I will tell you that the integrity that the framers possessed cannot be matched at any point in time. I wish today that we had men of integrity and character that could match those men then. And so I only humbly pray and seek that maybe I might be worthy of that kind of judgment when they lay me to rest. But I know that these men were prepared for this time. So now we're in the Pennsylvania ratification debates. And so Mr. Wilson, James Wilson, is the one that does the majority of the explaining of what the Constitution is. So it's very good. Unlike New York, where Hamilton just basically got into the theory, Mr. Wilson did such a superb job in describing and explaining everything about the Constitution. And so as we move into this section, let me just go ahead and start reading. And this is, again, out of the Pennsylvania ratification debates. And Mr. Wilson says, "The secret is now disclosed, and it is discovered to be a dread that the boasted state sovereignties will, under this system, be disrobed of part of their power. Before I go into examination of this point, let me ask one important question. Upon what principle is it contended that the sovereign power resides in the state governments? The honorable gentleman has said, truly, that there can be no subordinate sovereignty. Now, if there cannot, my position is that the sovereignty resides in the people. They have not parted with it. They have not dispensed such portions of power as were conceived necessary for the public welfare. This Constitution stands upon this broad principle. I know very well, sir, that the people have hitherto been shut out of the federal government, but it is not meant that they should any longer be disposed of their rights. In order to recognize this leading principle, the proposed system sets out with a declaration that its existence depends upon the supreme authority of the people alone. We have heard much about the consolidated government. I wish the honorable gentleman would condescend to give his definition of what he meant by it. I think this more necessary because I apprehend the term, in the numerous times it has been used, has not always been used in the same sense. It may be said, and I believe it has been said, that a consolidated government is such as will absorb and destroy the governments of the several states. If it is taken in this view, the plan before us is not a consolidated government, as I showed by a former day and may, if necessary, show further on some future occasion. On the other hand, if it is meant that the general government will take from the state governments their power in some particulars, it is confessed and evident that this will be its operation and effect. And so clearly he's pointing out that the people are sovereigns and that the state government is not really giving up any sovereignty. The people are the ones that decide whether that sovereignty is surrendered or not. And so he later on goes in and he says, and again, this is Wilson, because he does most all of the explaining and defining what these things are. And he goes on and says, when I made the observations that some politicians would say the supreme power was lodged in our state constitutions, I did not suspect the honorable gentleman from Westmoreland, and his name was Mr. Findlay, was included in that description. But I find myself disappointed, for I imagined his opposition would arise from another consideration. His position is that the supreme power resides in the states as governments, and mine is that it resides in the people as the fountain of government. That the people, remember I started off the show, right? I said that the people are the fountain of political power. And he just basically reiterated that here. That the people have not, that the people meant not, and that the people ought not to part with it to any government whatsoever. In their hands it remains secure. They can delegate it in such proportions to such bodies on such terms and under such limitations as they think proper. I agree with the members in opposition that there cannot be two sovereigns on the same subject. I consider the people of the United States as forming one great community, and I consider the people of the different states as forming communities again on a lesser scale. From this great division of the people to distinct communities, it will be found necessary that different proportions of legislative power should be given to the governments according to the nature, number, and magnitude of their objects. Unless the people are considered in these two views, we will never be able to understand the principle on which these systems was constructed. I view the states made for the people as well as by them, and not the people as made the states. The people, therefore, have a right, whilst enjoying the undeniable powers of society, to form either a general government or state governments in whatever manner they please, to accommodate them to one another, and by this means preserve them all. This, I say, is the inherent and unalienable right of the people. And as an illustration of it, I beg to read a few words from the Declaration of Independence made by the representatives of the United States and recognized by the whole Union. And so then he goes into his little reading of the Declaration of Independence, that all men were created equal, and you know how that goes. But he also talks about how, and the interesting thing is, I think that it's very important to always point out, whenever you read the Declaration of Independence, these men knew that they were putting their all on the line. And that's why they ended it with their sacred honor, and that they recognized that it may take literally their lives in trying to fight for liberty. I will tell you, my friends, that if you look at the British government and the tyranny that they were descending upon the colonies of the time with a 0.1% tax, and the types of regulations that they were putting on the colonies at the time, that was minuscule compared to the tyranny we're living under today. You cannot flush your toilet by anything other than a 1.6 or even less liters per flush. And that is arbitrary power that the federal government has assumed upon itself. All of the EPA, all the energy, all of these things are arbitrary powers that they have never been delegated, as you know. And so when we come back, I'll have some more from Mr. Wilson. We're at that heartbreak time, and we will give you some more of the Pennsylvania ratification debate. So we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. And so I recognize that as I'm going through, because this really is the last meaty ratification debate that is available, because if you go read a lot of the other ones like Rhode Island and so forth, they were literally Delaware. They were just literally rubber stamps of the Constitution. And so even though Pennsylvania was one of the first, they actually debated it. And again, as I mentioned, that they were a little insulted with the fact that they were not going to become the seat of government carte blanche, that it wasn't guaranteed that the 10 nautical miles by 10 nautical miles would have been carved out of Pennsylvania somehow. And so The fact is that the details that they covered when they went through this, and it was going back and forth on sovereignty and so forth, and either tomorrow or the following day we'll get into jurisdiction. But right now, my focus, and what you can do, just do what I do. I just pulled in, because you can get these things off of the Avalon Project, or you can go to different locations, I think Constitution Society. But pull in the ratification debates like this, put them into a Word document, and then organize them. It takes about 30 minutes to an hour to organize each. And then you can start doing searches, and you can search for limited, you can search for jurisdiction, you can search for enumerated, and you can start finding all of these golden nuggets, as I have for you. It doesn't take that much, because especially with technology today, it really doesn't take much to do the due diligence and research. But anyway, let me get into what Mr. Wilson says next, because he talks about state sovereignty, and that's literally how he starts us off. He says, state sovereignty, as it is called, is far from being able to support its weight. And what he means by that is that the independent states could not have fought Britain on their own. It required all of the states to collectively pull together. That is why the Republican form, or a republic of independent states working together, was the superior form of government in being able to muster all of its resources, because there is a huge difference between the seaboard and the heartland, the mountains, the different resources. That's why you can tell the Lord has completely blessed America. Unfortunately, we've turned our back on him. But anyway, let me get going here. It is unable to support its weight. Nothing less than the authority of the people could either support it or give it efficacy. I cannot pass over this subject without noticing the different conduct pursued by the late federal convention, and that observed by the convention which framed the Constitution of Pennsylvania. On that occasion, you find an attempt made to deprive the people of its right, so lately and so expressly asserted in the Declaration of Independence. We are told in the preamble of the Declaration of Rights and the frame of government that we do, by virtue of the authority vested in us, ordain, declare, and establish the following Declaration of Rights and frame the government to be the Constitution of the Commonwealth and to remain in force therein mattered, except in such articles as shall hereafter on experience be found to require improvement, and which shall, by the same authority of the people fairly delegated as this frame of government directs. An honorable gentleman, Mr. Chambers, was well warranted in saying that all that could be done was done to cut off the people from the right of amending, for it cannot be amended by any other mode than which it directs, than any number more than one-third may control any less than two-thirds. But I return to my general reasoning. My position is, sir, that in this country the supreme, absolute, and uncontrollable power resides in the people at large, that they have vested certain proportions of this power in state governments. And I've been saying this, that we have an hierarchical sovereignty, that the people hold, you know, the bulk of all the sovereignty. We can get rid of their people, we can get rid of our government. However, we delegate to our states a very broad range of powers, and then the states have delegated very direct and very minute range of powers to the federal government, that they have these delegated powers and no more. Anyway, he goes on and says, but that the fee simple continues, resides, and remains with the body of the people. Under the practical influence of this great truth, we are now sitting and deliberating under its operation. We can sit as calmly and deliberate as coolly in order to change a constitution as a legislature can sit and deliberate under the powers of a constitution in order to alter or amend a law. It is true, the exercise of this power will not probably be so frequent nor resorted to in so many occasions in one case or the other, but the recognition of the principle cannot fail to establish it more firmly. But because this recognition is made in the proposed Constitution, an exception is taken to the whole of it. For we are told it is a violation of the present confederation, a confederation of sovereign states. I shall not enter into an investigation of the present confederation, but shall just remark that its principle is not the principle of free governments. The principle of the United States are not as such represented in the Congress and considered even as the component parts of the several states. They are not represented in proportion to their numbers and importance. And really what he was trying to say, and if you understand the amendment process in the Confederacy, in the Articles of Confederation, it required 100% of all the states to agree with the amendment. And there were several cases where Rhode Island refused to amend the Articles of Confederation. And so they were held victims or held hostage to one particular state not allowing the Confederacy to gain more abilities, control, or what have you. And so what they did was they took away the ability of a single state and said, you know, what is reasonable that one-third. And today in our Constitution, what that number represents is 13. If we have 13 states that say the federal government can't do something, then the Constitution cannot be amended. That is why you find that 13 is a very significant number in Republic Review. Because if you can get 13 states to say, like, let's say Obamacare, because there were 26 states that sued the federal government, and of course, by going to the Supreme Court, you're going to get an outcome that meets the needs of the federal government. However, as I have said, and I will clearly state, that the federal government and the Supreme Court has no jurisdiction over things that are not within the Constitution. Only the states have jurisdiction over this. Therefore, you only need 13 states to say you can't constitutionally do this. By going into court, you're surrendering to the federal government any powers and sovereignties that you have. That is why you take 13 states and say, we're not letting you have this. We're not going to court over it because you have no jurisdiction. We are the high authority over this Constitution, over all things not delegated. These are not GR's words, my friends. These are Thomas Jefferson. These are James Madison. These are Mr. Wilson. These are these men who explained this Constitution. If it is not enumerated in the Constitution, they have no jurisdiction. As Nicholas said in the Virginia ratification debates, if it is not enumerated, they cannot meddle with it. However, they're doing that. They are meddling with it. And that means that we have to step in. That's where the states have the big job of cleanup. You got to get the parents in, and the parents are going to have to clean up this mess because the child has created a monster. Kind of reminds me of that movie, The Thing, back in the 80s version of The Thing with Kurt Russell. And I remember that they go out to see the guy that they've left out in a remote outbuilding. And as they started going through the outbuilding, they noticed that there was an underground hatch. They went down and they found, well under the ice, this guy had caved out this cavern, and there was like a little UFO he was building. And somebody said, well, it looks like somebody's been busy. And that's exactly what the federal government's been doing. They've been busy at taking away the state's roles, responsibilities, and powers and authority and sovereignty. And so I don't want to go much further because we're going to be losing the terrestrial stations. So those who are on radio waves will be dropping after the music, after this bit of music plays out. So as soon as this music plays out, then I will talk about what we're going to talk about tomorrow. So I'll be right back at the end of this music. And thank you for tuning in, those on the radio waves. We'll see you tomorrow. And so as I look at what I have right now in the queue, there's at least four more citations that I have just going through limited and enumerations. And so I'm also planning on pulling out some jurisdictions so that I have these different citations. Because why is this important? Because I'm providing you with a mountain of empirical data to prove that all the framers that were involved in the Constitutional Convention clearly identified that the federal government does not have the power to do all of these things that they're doing. And therefore, we have to take those powers back before it is too late. I am G.R. Mobley. I'm reclaiming the Republic with your help. Thank you for tuning in. We'll be back tomorrow, same time. God bless.